All right. The time is 1:09 p.m. Central Time on July 12th, 2022. And I am convening this video conference meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for the carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on July 1, 2022 and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of that notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of the meeting. We have Ted Kennedy and myself, members of the committee. So we do have a quorum. We're expecting Dean Frigo momentarily. So we should have all members here shortly. Also in attendance, we have Counsel Shelby Betts and Jackie Rickson, Executive Director Bart Bowles, Jarrett Terry and Topping Haggerty from the association. And then from TDI, we have Patty Otto, John Peters, and Brian Rewey. I think that starts us off, Bart.
Okay, thank you everyone for joining. Jim will begin with the agenda.
All right, we have item one, the consent agenda, which I think consists just of the minutes. Folks have had a chance to look at those yet. I guess I'm speaking to Ted. I'm sorry, Ted.
I was just making a motion to move the
consent. Okay. All right. And I'll second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We've adopted the consent agenda. Item number two, cash flow projections. Bart, you want to run through that?
Yes, Jim, we've kind of simplified the presentation on this, and it's going to go through another revision as we before your January meeting. But rather than give you a voluminous write-up, and we would just give you an explanation when we talk, but on here, we're showing you the active insolvencies where we have cash flow needs going across the columns from left to right. Of course, the insolvency name, then the benefits that we have paid to date for the first 5 months of 2022 on those insolvencies, our projected remaining obligations to cash flow needs for the remainder of 2022, and then our projected remaining obligations that we think will be after 2022. So you might think of this as long-term and short-term. So if you want to add the third and fourth columns together, you can see for those two insolvencies are listed, they're active and we have obligations. It's about $3,480,000. What we put in the final column to the right is the net position for each of those insolvencies. And I believe Jarrett, that is cash and investments. Does it include any non-cash assets?
Yes, it includes non-cash assets, things such as okay. interest.
So it is like the that. Full net position before deducting any obligations. So these are the amounts available to meet those obligations. So you can just see where we stand on the cash flow. This isn't the full cash available need schedule we'll talk about later under another item. But just bringing forward the net positions, you can see, for example, on Universal Life, we think we have about $261,000 of potential obligations there over the remaining life of this insolvency. And we have almost $392,000 in cash investments and receivables. So it gives you kind of a snapshot what we have to pay and what we have to pay it with. Not a lot of obligations there. You know, we continue with a very low volume of obligations. You know, the biggest insolvency for the association right now is Penn Treaty, but that was all funded with an upfront transfer to LTC Re, and those obligations are being paid out over time. So we've paid a $60 million on Penn Treaty, which is about $10 million a year, but that's not shown on this schedule. Jarrett, anything you'd like to add?
No, nothing else.
Questions from the committee?
All right. Ted, anything? Nothing on my end either, Bart.
Okay.
All right. Brings us to item three, consideration and possible action for the remaining Lincoln Memorial Service Life Insurance Company funds.
Ted, if I can just make a couple of comments before we go into executive session and hear some follow up on some research and investigation and exploration you'd ask Jackie to provide. I trimmed this information from the last write-up. There's no sense to repeat everything the committee had been presented last time. You know how we got in this position. It's not bad estimates. It was timing and success in pursuing a very, very lengthy litigation case against 40 plus defendants. So we have excess funds, not because of an error, but because of success. And now we are looking through our statutory abilities to handle those funds. And we'll be talking about those in executive session. What's very important, if I can show on this schedule, where are we? What's the money we're talking about? Our net position here is $48 million. There's a little bit of that, the 1.252 here, the illiquid receivables. Those are actually receivables of internal borrowings from other insolvencies. Okay. So Lincoln Memorial has been a bank to borrow or to loan to some of our other insolvencies. There are a couple we have not yet assessed for. Okay. And then this number, the $2 million, it's a rough estimate. There are two other sources of funds that are going to be coming in. The receivership estate has, has about $8 million to distribute. And as that estate winds up, we think it could happen in 2023. They'll distribute those funds. There's also a small amount of litigation proceeds that yet have to flow through NOLGA, and there's an amount that NOLGA has been holding to finalize. There was a case involving one trust that had to be resolved. We have a very, very small piece of that trust. So we're estimating it's $2 million, maybe a little bit more than $2 million yet to come out to the association. So we're going to end up with about $50 million. Okay. We haven't quite collected everything, but it's pretty close. So about $50 million is the number we're going to be addressing. So I wanted to just update that and see if there are any questions before we move forward to executive session.
Mark, can I make one clarification, please?
Yes. What did I say wrong?
No, it's the net liquid receivables. Almost all of that is from the expense account. There is some from other insolvencies that have borrowed, but most of that 1.2 is from the expense account. So that could be part of the mix, depending on how all this ends up.
So those are not only insolvencies that we have not yet assessed for, but these are for monitoring cost of troubled companies that are not yet in liquidation and may not be. Okay. All right.
With that. Jim and Bart, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea to wait a little bit before going into executive session if Dean is going to be able to join.
Yeah. Dean is on by phone, it looks like, but he's okay. Muted, so I don't know. Because he
yeah, has, I'm here.
Yeah, he's got a video.
Late, I apologize. I let this meeting slip by on me. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Thanks for joining, Dean. You're actually very timely. So, okay. All right, Bart. So we're jumping into executive session here. I don't have the agenda pulled up. I'm depending on you to scroll, Bart. So.
Yes. Let me get there. Sorry. And apologize. I just clicked the wrong button. Right. When you read the language, Jim, if you could then pause before Topping sets it up, and I'll place our colleagues from TDI into a waiting room.
Yep. All right.
Go right ahead.
All right. The time is 1:19 p.m. on July 12, 2022, and I am recessing the regular session of the Assessment Investment Committee Meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the committee to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act.
We are recording again in open session.
The time is 2:33 on Central Time on July 12th, 2022. The executive session of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association has concluded, and I am reconvening the regular session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. That gets harder and harder to say the more I read it. All right. So we have item 5, consideration and possible action on items discussed in executive session. I think we might have a recommendation.
Sure. Bart, would you like to read the compromise that we resolved in executive session, and I'll make that as a motion, or do you want me to paraphrase?
Well, let me read it off, and you correct me if I didn't capture it correctly. That the committee is recommending to the Board of Directors the following actions be taken in the management of the Lincoln Memorial Funds. That the amounts currently reported by the Texas Comptroller as being available for premium tax offset from prior Lincoln Memorial assessments of approximately $504,000 will be directly paid to those companies from the association, and the payments reported to the comptroller for adjustment of the remaining premium tax offsets. Number two, that the funds of Lincoln Memorial that have been invested by the association that may be maturing will be reinvested to mature at the end of September 2023. The committee will monitor the additional recoveries from the Lincoln Memorial Estate that are anticipated in 2023. Then at their meetings in January 2023 and July 2023, we'll review the status of those recoveries for further disposition of Lincoln Memorial funds being held by the association.
Jackie? Bart, I think there one item was in addition to use of funds currently for the 500 some odd thousand premium tax offsets, the use of approximately $3.6 million for 2021 arrears and 2022 Class A assessments.
Yes, thank you. I left that out. You're very right. And those are the elements of the motion.
So with that addition, I will move adoption of that motion by the committee.
This is Dean. I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. Thank you, everybody, for that discussion. All right, item 6, agent balances. Bart, you want to tell the committee what that's about?
This is a little bit of a historic, a little bit of a trip down memory lane here. An insolvency called Texas Memorial Life Insurance Company is another prepaid burial company that was similar to the time when Lincoln Memorial Service occurred. The liquidator, or SDR, in that insolvency pursued unearned commission balance recoveries from a list of agents and was able to collect on quite a few of them and set up promissory notes for the payoff of others. When it came time to close the receivership estate, the SDR had exhausted their efforts to collect on these judgments and had gone to court and obtained judgments. against 29 agents for about $1.25 million of unpaid, unearned commission balances. Those judgments and four promissory notes that have been set up with other agents to repay about $21,000 of agent balances were assigned to the association, is what we said, an assignment in kind. We didn't pay anything for these. And it was done truly to expedite the closing of the estate. The association took those judgments in the promissory notes. We collected fully on three of the notes. One of the notes, the agent stopped paying. I think it was a little over about $980, $982 had not been paid on that note. And on the other judgments, I did work with TDI and to see if, you know, these agents had active licenses, what could we do to try to put pressure on them to pay on these. We were only able to recover on one of the judgments. It got in the way of this person getting a job. It popped up and he approached us. We reached a settlement, paid off that, paid us an amount, and we released the judgment. So they're only remaining judgments. They've now expired. That's been more than 10 years. We did not renew them. We just did not feel it warranted any further investigation. We did other research through TDI. And at this point, we don't think we can recover on these balances. So we have an asset. You'll see it on screen there. $1,346,377.72.
Bart, hold on just a minute, please. I apologize. That was my typo. That's supposed to be $1,246,377.
Okay, I'm sorry. $1,246,377. And then $982 less is our allowance for collection. So we would like to write off those two items off our balance sheet. We don't think they are collectible at all. And it's just another item that makes it cleaner in audit times to explain what is this asset and why the large allowance. Honestly, we did this to expedite and allow the closing of the estate. I think we're fortunate that we were able to collect what we did. So we did the best we could. Jackie, have I mischaracterized the judgments in any way?
No, I think you got them, Bart. I think it is important to remember, you know, these things were duds when the receiver had them, and they were even more duds when we got them.
Yeah, if the receiver could have collected on them, they would have been collected and never assigned to us. So we did what we could. And I do have a resolution for you to consider here on screen.
All right, I don't know that I have a problem with the resolution. Just one quick question, just I guess from an ethics standpoint. I think I know the answer to this, but I want to ask anyway. So by removing these duds from our balance sheet, it in no way changes the judgments against these thieves that stole.
The judgments were gone. The judgments are already gone. They have expired.
So they had a judgment pronounced against them. The judgment expired, but nothing of our undertaking this process in any way cleans their record.
No.
Okay.
It's just our ability to collect on them. We got nothing to collect on now. But
I didn't do anything.
We didn't have much to start with.
Yeah, I don't want to do anything that even mentally helps these people.
No.
Okay.
Is that a motion, Ted?
Sure. A motion to move the proposed resolution.
This is Gene. I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. All right, item 7, association's investments. Bart, Jarrett?
Yes, twice annually, we like to review the investments of the association with you. As you know, we have a investment program right now where we are invested in laddered treasuries. And so we have it divided as, in accordance with the investment policy in the plan of operation, divided between two entities, Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan Securities. So at the top of the screen here, you will see what we're holding in our cash and money market accounts. In the far right column, as of May 31st, you see it's about $2.46 million. Jarrett, do you want to explain the negatives in the PTNA ANIC funds and in the expense funds under on that schedule?
Yeah, this is the same schedule that we go over each meeting, and the issue is still kind of the same. This is a snapshot at the end of the month, not a an accumulation of what's happened during the month. So as these treasuries are matured and then bought, the cash goes from positive to negative as they mature and as we purchase them. So at any given time, some will be negative, some will be positive, and then they flip-flop as we go through each month.
Thank you very much. So that's the $2.46 million in cash and money market accounts. And then at the lower part of that page, you'll see divided between Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan Securities. These are our investments in treasuries. So we have $36.482 million at Morgan Stanley and $26.265 million at JP Morgan Securities. And you'll see on both of those that there's $32 million in Lincoln Memorial funds at Morgan Stanley and $16.5 million at JP Morgan Securities. So in total, we have $62,747,000 in treasuries. And in all investments, as of May 31st, $66.21 million. On the next page, we'd like to show you a comparison. Yep, excuse me.
I'm sorry, just real quick. Refresh me. I apologize. I'm sure it's part of the bylaws and I haven't refreshed. Are we bound to a specific term when renewing treasuries? And if so, what we pick?
The strategy here is we have approximately $2 million in treasuries maturing each quarter. And that's really to meet what we think are going to be cash flow needs based on funding insolvencies and funding administrative expenses, including our NOLGA MPC fees and expenses. At one point, that $2 million a quarter was real tight because of some of our high litigation expenses. But what we do is we have $2 million in treasuries maturing each quarter. What we don't need to meet cash flow needs, we roll back to the end of this laddering schedule. And you can see right now, our longest maturing treasuries maturing out there in March of 2025.
Yeah, my only point, so appreciating liquidity needs and needing to roll on a tiered basis every quarter, from an economic standpoint, I think we're seeing rising rates. Yep. So with those that we don't need for liquidity purposes, historically, we would say, let's invest them on a 12-month basis, perhaps, or even a 5-year, whatever. I think we may want to consider 3 and 6 months to avail ourselves of higher rates at that time than the longer term.
Right.
But
well, if you can see on screen right now, comparing treasuries to CDs, CDs have higher rates in the shorter term. But once you go past, 6 months, your treasuries are getting better returns, and the returns on treasuries going 6 months, 1 year, 2 years are substantially better than they were this time a year ago. So one of the things we are going to be doing is looking as we're reinvesting other than the Lincoln Memorial monies, because you've just given us direction on how to invest it. We're going to be scrubbing our projections for cash flow needs as insolvency costs have kind of trimmed, and see if we can't go as funds are maturing to go to a slightly longer investment, take advantage of some of these returns. Am I reading into the direction you're kind of pointing?
Yes, exactly. So I just want us to, make an educated choice, reevaluate, don't use historical preference this go around for this year. I would even offer that, having gone through a similar exercise recently, the historical perspective of less than 6 months lean towards CDs. We found CDs gaining less than 100 basis points in 3 to 6 month tranches, whereas we can get 2 to 3% out of a 3 or 6 month treasury.
Yep.
So I'm understanding you to say that you recommend that we don't follow to get the maturities of these treasuries out as far as we can to start reinvesting them in every maybe 3 months to 6 months instead of, so let's say we have one that matures at the end of September. Your recommendation is to reinvest that for three or six months rather than go out to June of 2025.
So that's correct with one caveat. I defer to you the ultimate decision. I just say take that into consideration, whatever the economic forecast may be. Historically, it's been a no-brainer. Just take the longest you can. But under current economic circumstances, and I might argue for the next short while, that may not be the case. So let's just not automatically flip the switch when one rolls off to get the next one as the longest term possible. Let's decide maybe some of that needs to be shorter in a mix, what have you. Ultimately defer to you, but the economy is different today than we've seen in many years.
And then we just have what we decided for the Lincoln Memorial funds too. We have to keep that timing in mind, don't we? So
yeah, you can you see on the screen here that 9/30/2022, the two treasuries we have, one for $16 million, one $15 million. Those are Lincoln Memorial monies maturing September 30th, and we will go out a year on them to September 30th, 2023. But at the same time, Dean, Ted, we could look and see, should we go out a year or should we go out maybe 6 months and reinvest again at 6 months? We'll just have to look at the rates. And I believe I'm hearing you saying, be very cognizant in this market. Long is not always the best return. You may be able to go in shorter investment periods and achieve some better returns.
If that's the outlook, right. And we may very well go back to our historical approach in 12 to 24 months. But for the next year or two, my personal view is we may do ourselves a favor with shorter terms, availing ourselves with higher rates on the horizon.
My thought on that is we've been following this methodology at the instruction of the committee. So, Bart, do we need to
change
the instructions from the committee?
I don't want to leave it too ambiguous because I want to make sure that we are following a policy that you've established. And not specifically by investment policy, but a program that you've established. And I think I'm hearing you at the maturity of our treasuries to look at 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, 1 year rates at that time and possibly reinvest for a shorter period within the next year rather than going out to the end of this laddering schedule, which is some 3 years in the future.
Yeah. So what we have been doing is the main goal is the timing. So we've always bought a treasury based on when it matures and as long as it has a positive yield. So what I'm saying is, or what I'm hearing is maybe the policy or the methodology ought to be changed to look at the yield and chase the bigger yield rather than go after the maturity.
And so that's correct. And what Bart said is correct from my personal view. But I'll add, if it becomes a problem in trying to tranche your liquidity, mixing that up with 6, 9, and 12 together with 3 years and it becomes a nightmare for you, then I will remove the request. I just want to make sure we're being smart with the people's money without being risky.
Well, I think that's an issue at all.
No, we won't. We won't risk the funds. We will make sure we cover cash flow needs. And then on the investment, we will do an analysis of the returns and possibly reinvest for shorter periods rather than at the end of the laddering schedule. And then report back to you on how these reinvestments. I think what we'll look at it between now and January as we have these investments coming up. You'll see we've got September. We already know what we're doing with that. We have funds maturing at 12/31 this year. We can look at those in January and bring you some analysis. There's not much to reinvest between now and your next meeting, except for that $31 million in September on the Lincoln Memorial Funds.
So Bart, is this codified anywhere? Or?
No.
Okay. No. So it's just direction of the committee. Okay.
Now, the investment policy is really based on the type of investment and where approvals are needed. The timing and the duration of the investments is really the program that is established periodically at the direction of the committee. It's not codified anywhere other than in the minutes of meetings.
Right. Okay. All right. Ted or Dean, anything else for Bart and Jarrett there?
No, sorry to detract or delay, but I thought it was worth discussing.
No, that's an important comment, important direction. Thank you.
Agree. All right, Bart, Jarrett, anything else there?
No.
All right, item 8, consideration, any action regarding the investment policy. I think this is, an annual item?
Yep, and this is section 7, right out of the plan of operation. And as said, it details what are permitted investments, what does not need board approval, and what requires board approval. And the only thing that might be needed in this, and I wouldn't change it today, but I think we left out a word here, Jackie, in VI. In other places where we say, or its successor, I wish we would have said, and the certificate of deposit account registry service or its successor, because it now has a successor, it has a different name. The only successor we have in that paragraph is for the FDIC. So I don't think this is necessary today because it's a very minuscule change. It's very clear to anyone in investments that the CDERS program is now the IntraFi network. And any change in this requires going through the entire commissioner approval, submission approval process. It doesn't really change the investment policy. So at the next time we do an amendment or any change investment policy, we will clean this up.
Yeah. We don't have anything there anyway, do we, Bart? So
no, we don't. Yeah. We looked at it and the returns we're getting on Treasury are greater than anything we get through CDERS.
Yeah. All right. Then, it doesn't hurt us to wait. Okay. Nope. Anything else? From my perspective, it doesn't sound like we need to change anything today or immediately. So
I'm good.
All right. Yeah, item 9. I'm sorry, Dean. Sorry to cut you off. Item 9, consideration possible action on a Class A assessment.
Okay. This item was put on there just to show you where we stood on our funds and in not knowing what direction you may take for management of the Lincoln Memorial Funds. If you wanted to go ahead and assess for the administrative funds the association needs. But what you have here is a snapshot as of May 31st, where we are in our operating expenses. You can see we're at a negative 1.17. As of May 31st, 2022. But that does not include, Jarrett, I don't think that has our remaining, here's our remaining down here, 2.424 for 2022 to get us to the 3.6 million that we would be at a deficit at this end of this year. So this catches up. The deficit at 2021 plus what's needed for all of 2022 does not address 2023 at all. And this is the $3.6 million that you've recommended to the board be paid from the Lincoln Memorial Funds.
With the understanding that we will continue to borrow from the Lincoln Memorial if we need to, correct?
Okay. Any questions?
When would we do the next year assessment, Bart, in due course for 2023?
What we would normally do is present the budget to you in your January meeting, have you make a recommendation to the board, and then we would try to get it out the door March 1.
Okay. So what we did earlier handles through the end of the year then, and then we'd reconsider Class A next January at our meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure. All right. Committee members all on board, I assume. All right. Item 10, potential Class B credit refund in 2022.
And this is something we look at twice a year. We give you what we call our cash available need schedule that provides the net position for each insolvency that we have out there. And so these are the net position balances we are holding for companies. And I know it's a little bit small. I can probably, did that get larger on your screen? Okay. As we go down here, you see the red or negative balances, the black, of course, positive balances. But some of these are amounts that are negative because we have not been have not assessed for them, or we either have not assessed or cannot assess for them. For example, Bankers Life here, that's one of the global companies. We are paying our fair share of expenses of ANOLGA's task force to work on these global companies. It is in rehabilitation. We have no authority to assess Class B on this company yet. Here you see Calanthe Mutual is a negative 643. But the way you get to that net position, it's not only where we are today in cash and cash equivalents and receivables, but it's also our obligations payable, which these are reserves.
Okay.
These are reserves for in the future that may go 20 years. Cash flow, we don't need all that money right now. So I go through and I look at this list of companies and I say, where do we need to do an assessment? Where do we need to do a refund? And as part of looking at if is a refund practical, is it an active insolvency? Are some of those amounts we're showing in the net position not liquid? They may be receivables. We don't have that money in-house. And that's what you see on some of these. There's a difference between the cash and cash equivalent column and the net position column. So in looking at all this, we are not recommending any Class B assessment at this time. And no refund at this time.
All right. Thank you. Questions from the committee? All right. That moves us to the next one, Bart.
And this is the charter for the committee. This charter has not been changed since July 26, 2011. It seems to have worked very well for the committee, and it does clearly spell out the obligations of the committee and how it will conduct its affairs. We've gone back through this, and we ask that all committees revisit their charters annually. We see nothing that would warrant any revision in your charter.
I don't have anything either. Ted or Dean, any items that you saw?
Nothing here.
Nothing jumped out.
Okay. All right. 13. It's just the next meeting date, Bart. Sorry, it's very small on my screen.
Oh, I'm sorry. How's that?
That's better.
January 10th.
Yes, your next meeting date is 2 weeks before the first board meeting in next calendar year, which your meeting would then be Tuesday, January 10th, 2023.
Okay. I'll place that on my calendar.
And I will note the calendar of activities that we have in there. We do a calendar activity, a master, and then we do excerpts from that master for each committee. So if you're serving on the assessment investment committee, you can go look and see what's coming up for the committee, what we need to work on. If you're serving or you want to look at the entire board's picture, everything in all committees, it'll be there. We update it quarterly after committee meetings and board meetings. We will create a folder on the portal and put the calendar of activities out there. So if any time you want to go look at the calendar of activities, it will be there for you to monitor.
Sounds good. All right. Is that the last item, Bart, I believe?
That is the last item, sir.
All right. Anything else from staff or committee members before I adjourn the meeting?
I think for me, thank you for all your work.
Yeah, thank you, Bart.
Good job. So, a lot of work, Jackie.
Yep. Appreciate it. All right. The time is 3:04 p.m. Central Time on July 12, 2022, in this meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association that has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned.